All right, Psalm 127 here tonight. I just have a few thoughts, something quite simple, in fact. I just want to drive home one thing, something you probably know or should. But Psalm 127, verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. But particularly, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Let's pray. Now, Father, I come to you tonight and just hope we might drive home a simple point. Father, it should be one of the landmark controllers of our lives. Oftentimes, in the midst of the melee that life becomes, the running to and fro, and the rat's nest, the wheel that keeps turning, Father, we lose track of it a little bit. I pray you might bring it back to our minds in its great verity. Pray you'd shed light on it. Father, help us realize that it's something that the Bible's really founded on. And I just pray that you'd help us tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, and now there are laws and rules that, in the main, no one even argues with. I know that, you know, in the matters of court law, there's always a lawyer to take up your side no matter what happens and all that. But in general, there are some laws that are so profound and so pervasive that everybody knows they're an idiot if they try to buck the law. One such law is the law of gravity. You really seldom see anyone try to buck it. Now, once in a while, some dude gets desperate and climbs on top of something high and jumps, but he's just using gravity to reach the ends that he wants. In general, little kids learn pretty quick that, you know, when you fall on asphalt or gravel, something usually tears, and it's not the asphalt or the gravel, because gravity pulls somebody down, and that's just the way things are. It is an unquestioned and largely unchallenged law. I don't mean that we don't fly in airplanes and stuff like that, or you can parachute down, stuff like that, but nobody really even disputes it or argues with it. I mean, we just concede to it. And instead of buying really hard-seated chairs, we buy chairs with cushy, tushy things on them. That's a concession to gravity. We just concede that if we have to sit here for an hour, our tail ends are going to get sore, and so we're going to put a pillow under us to make it easier. We've made a concession to gravity. That's what that is. You put a safety gate at the head of the stairs if you have a little kid in the house that's toddling around and still not very stable on their feet. You've made a concession to gravity. You've quit fighting gravity. You've conceded to it that it can hurt your kid, and you're just going to try to keep the kid from falling down the stairs. That's the way things are. It's one of those laws, and there's lots of them like that, but, you know, we take great pains to accommodate that particular thing. Even if you're a daredevil, you'll double-check the bindings on your bungee cord. Even if you're going to jump to get the thrill, you'll double check the bungee cord straps to make sure they're secure. Maybe you'll even pack your own parachute if you know what you're doing, because you want to make sure and not buck gravity too far, because it could kill you, right? It's one of those laws. It's just one of those things. Nobody's surprised when they get up in the morning to find themselves still pressed back into the bed. Nobody ever woke up floating above the bed, because gravity's always there. Now, there are things otherwise like that. We do that with the changing seasons. We set our clocks by the fact that every day the sun is going to rise. Yes, I know there's a day coming, but it hasn't happened yet. And for as long as there's been history, and as long as time exists, there's going to be sunrise and sunset. And so we just concede to that. We concede to the movements of the stars. We gripe about living in Minnesota because the winters are so harsh and so long, and the summers are so short and so sweet. And yet you chose to live here. You voluntarily live here. You don't have to live in Minnesota. You just gripe, and then you still, regardless of your griping, you still make concessions and get the snowblower ready to go because it's going to snow this winter, and you get where you can get to your coat and hat because it's going to get cold. We just have to make concessions to those things. If you own an internal combustion engine that you regularly use, it's going to take gas to run it. Now, I realize that the female of the species sometimes thinks that it can run on air. But eventually they learn, presumably, that it does take gas no matter how high it climbs if you're going to run an internal combustion engine. Now, I say that to say this. There's tons of things like that. And there's one that's spiritual as well. There are laws that are spiritual, not just one, but one in particular that is mentioned in Psalm 127, verse 1. It's not stated the way I'm going to state it, but it is true the way I'm going to state it. And that law is that everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. Now, I realize that a lot of people try to get around it, but it is as constant as gravity. It is just as real as the phases of the moon, and just as predictable. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing, and yet, in the main, it is ignored like no other such law is ignored. In the end, it's almost like everybody decided that gravity is not relevant anymore, and so 3/4 of the population just climb up on top of something high and jump. Spiritually speaking, I mean, if everything depends upon the Lord's blessing, I mean, how many people do you know that actually are pursuant of the Lord's blessing day in and day out and hour by hour? Because that is as much a law as the law of gravity. It is as much a law as the law of time passing by. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. So let me preach to you for just a little while, a very simple and maybe a short sermon on everything depending on the Lord's blessing. And I'll just begin by stating, first of all, that it is a fact. And I believe that I can, without controversy, state it as a fact. It is a fact. If you want to dispute it, you can. But it is irrefutable as water rolling off of Niagara Falls. It is just as irrefutable as the phases of the moon. Everything depends on the Lord's blessing. And if you're going to do something and the Lord decides not to bless it, then it's not blessed. It's just really not blessed. This is a fact. God runs things, God blesses things, or else He doesn't. He honors and blesses and establishes and multiplies what man labors to do or he doesn't. He blesses a man's dreams, a man's undertakings, a man's desires, and a man's undertakings, or else he doesn't. And there's no way to sue God. And there's no appeal. And nobody voted. And nobody set up a review committee. And there's never been a rescission of the law. Everything depends on the Lord's blessing. So let me state it first of all as a fact. Our welfare, our children, and in some ways you can probably affect your health, but in general, your health, your hopes do not depend upon the government. They depend upon God. They're dependent upon God. They don't depend upon a particular political party. They depend upon God's blessing. The welfare of your family, the spiritual welfare, the things that you undertake to do for the Lord or, for that matter, not for the Lord, it'll depend on whether the Lord blesses it or not that it comes to fruition. Cain and Abel, the Lord accepted Abel's offering and rejected Cain's offering. Just as cold a fact as is possible, because God blessed what Abel did, but would not bless what Cain did. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. It's a fact. It's a fact throughout the Word of God. In Numbers 14, children of Israel decided to send in spies at Kadesh Barnea, and they came back saying, oh man, we can't go. We can't go because the giants are tall, the cities are big, the walls are, you know, thicker than you can imagine. We can't go. We're as grasshoppers in their sight. When the Lord said, because you're not going to go, I'm just going to wait and kill you guys, all you guys, and send your children into to there. We'll eventually get in there. So they changed their mind. And so on the turn of a dime, they go from, you know, if you go in now and take the cities and go after the giants, you will be blessed and you will win, to deciding, oh, now we'll go. And the Lord said, don't go now. Well, they went anyway, and they had their rear ends handed to them. Why? Because the Lord wouldn't bless what they did. He would have blessed it, but in a moment of time, when that window closed and that tide turned, He refused to bless what they did. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. The walls of Jericho fell after the children of Israel marched around them seven times and then shouted. There is no scientific reason whatsoever that the walls of Jericho should have fallen. But they did fall because they did what God told them to do, and God blessed that. Right? When you stop and consider Ai, the children of Israel went up to Ai and they said, oh, it's just a small town. We only need to send a company in. We're only need to send about 3,000 people in to defeat this city. What they didn't know was that someone among them, Achan, had taken of the accursed thing. And so they went into that battle against a small city with a reduced force of men. They went in and, again, they got their tail ends handed to them. Why? Because the Lord cursed them instead of blessed them. I want to say you ought to be more cognizant maybe than you are of the fact that everything depends upon the Lord's blessing, no matter what you undertake. You know, Abraham and Lot decided they should divide the land because they were overrunning each other with their livestock. They were so prosperous, and so Lot chose his portion. And as soon as Lot walked off, the Lord says, I'm not going to honor that, Abraham. I'm going to give you the whole thing, turn the whole circle. 360 degrees of it is yours, not just 180 degrees of it is yours. I'm not going to bless what Lot did, what Lot chose. I'm going to bless you because it's upon you that the blessing rests. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. Moses, without the blessing, can't lead any of Israel anywhere. In God's time and with His blessing, He can deliver 2.5 million people into the wilderness, feed them, water them, and bring them out into Canaan land. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. I think sometimes we lose sight of it. No, you can't predict it on your time. No, it's probably not going to happen the way you thought it would happen. That's just the common denominator. But the fact of the matter is that everything does depend upon the Lord's blessing. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. What happens when the common man finds a stick on the ground that's about the size of his wrist and about this tall, and he stands on a hilltop and raises it above his head? Nothing. His arms get tired. But when Moses did it at the Lord's behest, the Red Sea opened up. The Amalekites were defeated. See, everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. What of those seven fine sons of Jesse? The first one comes out and he's, you know, tall as a pole and wide as a barn. And Samuel says, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. The Lord says, that ain't him. And he keeps on going down the line, and finally they've run out of sons. And he says, don't you have any more? He says, well, there's one more. The runt of the litter, he's out in the field. And it was David, and the Lord blessed David, Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing, right? Peter got out of the boat and did walk a few steps. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. Moses and Israel are entrapped in the wilderness against the Red Sea. Here comes Pharaoh. Aaron looks at Moses and says, I hope that you have that the answer that you have is a good one. And sure enough, it was. Because in lifting that rod, God blessed that effort. And I'm simply saying you should be more cognizant of the fact that everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. Your marriage, the way you raise your kids, what you do with your kids, your children, your families, the things that you count the most dear are a part of the loot in this war. And sometimes the Lord delivers everything into your hand and it's all victory. But everybody else in your family has a will as well, and the devil works on every one of them. And so sometimes there's a loss and it doesn't work the way you planned. But it still remains that everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. So first of all, just reviewing, that's a fact. The fact that everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. It is a fatal decision to relegate that truth to Bible days. You know, back yon. You live in Bible days. Don't look now, but the book of Acts is still continuing up to this very hour. You live in Bible days. You live in the last times. There's never been a day that anybody needed the Lord's blessing upon what they're doing more than you need the Lord's blessing on what you're doing. Just be cognizant of the fact that everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. Let me move from the fact of it to the futility. By futility, I mean you can take certain action, and it's called spinning your wheels. It's called spitting into the wind or sailing a sinking ship or wasting your time. Or the Bible calls it vanity. And that is you pursuing certain things and doing it your way and not being attentive to or cognizant of or concerned about whether the Lord blesses it or not. I'm telling you, everything depends on the Lord's blessing. There's a, I like Calvin and Hobbes. In fact, we bought Joseph the entire Calvin and Hobbes collection. And when I was thinking about this sermon, I was thinking about the one where, Calvin, you see him on one frame, and he has either taped or glued chicken feathers to his arms. And you see him jumping off the roof. And the next frame, he's crawling out of the bushes, and he's all scraped and scratched, and the fog's over his head and stuff. And there's this bird sitting on the bush, and he says, "Wipe that stupid smile off your face." You say, "What are you saying?" Well, what I'm saying is there are certain things that you can do in life, and it's just futile. I'm sorry, you're not going to fly that way, Calvin. Right? And there's just certain ways that people go about things these days. And as I said, it's almost like 3/4 of the people, all the derelict, shipwrecked vessels you look around and see these days, the shattered homes, the shattered lives, the just broken in every respect, spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally, the whole kit and caboodle. And you're largely looking at folks that never sought in sincerity or in truth the Lord's blessing a single day in their lives. There are people that go through their entire lifetimes, 70 or 80 years, and never one day legitimately, genuinely, sincerely seek the Lord's blessing for what they're doing, because they don't know the truth of it anyway. So again, it's almost like 3/4 of everybody around us or more has suddenly decided to tape feathers on their arms and pretend they can fly and jump. And so they wind up broken. And that's what you're looking at in your country, in your world today, as things spiral out of control. because folks are trying to live futilely, just a futile existence, and trying to live and trying to solve problems in a legitimate way without the Lord's blessing on the thing. There may be an illusion of success sometimes. Jacob was a famous man for finagling and jury-rigging everything. He always had a plan. He always figured out a way to make money. He always figured out a way to get Laban's sheep, to figure out a breeding program so that he could steal something or that sort of thing. But in the end, when it comes time for, you know, when it comes time that the time that Dinah winds up raped, well, I'm really sorry Jacob didn't have any recourse then, because everything depends upon the Lord's blessing, and you can only jury-rig so much stuff. It's futile. It's futile. The rich man in Luke 12, he says, man, a rich man's fields brought forth plentifully, and the man looks at his stuff, and he says, man, I have more fruit than I can even store. So I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down the barns that I have, and I'm going to build bigger barns. And then I'm going to say to my soul, soul, thou hast laid up many things in store for thyself. I'm misquoting it slightly. But, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, because you have for many seasons enough stuff laid up. You're not even going to have to work for 20 years. And he said, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Because everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. How many people, how many stories do you know of somebody that retired a retirement they had dreamed of their whole lives and worked for, only to get to that marvelous, wonderful place in the Bahamas or whatever to have a heart attack and die? Yeah. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. It really does. And anything else is futile. It's an act of futility. Here is the Tower of Babel, Genesis 11, and it looked like a tremendous accomplishment. Everybody is cooperating. All these people have gotten together. They have gotten the unions lined up to work together, and they get the thing started, and then the Lord cursed it instead of blessed it, and everything broke to pieces. And I believe that at that juncture, men broke into 12 separate languages, which were, spread out and became all the many languages of the world today. So what's the point? Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. And to labor in something without that is a futility. When you do something precipitously and presumptuously, and when you allow sin and corruption in so that what should be blessed can't be blessed, you're laboring in futility. And there may very well be many tears to follow and many years of sorrow to follow. Is that reasonable? Here is a woman who had had an issue of blood for 12 years. And she had suffered, the Bible says, many things. And she had spent all of her money. She had spent, in fact, it says she had spent all on many physicians. And it was all a waste. Nothing worked. But the one time she was able to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, that was sufficient. The Lord blessed that. That man that lay beside the well of Bethesda for 38 years, nothing ever worked out for him until Jesus Christ came by and he spoke to him and healed him, and everything else was futile except the Lord puts forth his hand and honors and blesses what you're doing. Simon Peter, I said this morning, they'd been out fishing all night, had not caught a single thing. At the wrong time of day, the Lord says, let thy nets down for a draught. He said, well, I'll give you this. I'll let one down, but you know, I know what I'm doing and you don't. Well, I just want to say everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. Because that day he caught more fish than he ever imagined. Because everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. And if you're not seeking that, it's an act of futility. There were 850 prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves up on Mount Carmel. And oh, they were sincere. And I mean, they were zealous men. And so when Elijah challenges them all to have the God of heaven, Baal, for them, send down fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice, they thought they were in good shape because they were willing to go so far as to go for hours in this dance, supplication, scourging, self-flaying, self-scourging. They're bleeding all over the place. And nothing ever happened. And Elijah prays a 20-word prayer and fire falls from heaven and consumes the sacrifice. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. Everything depends upon it, and anything else is futile. Lot tried raising his family in Sodom and sought a position in Sodom, and it just didn't work out because those actions were futile. They were futile. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. I went to a college backslidden. I'd been backslidden throughout high school and junior high. Went to college on an athletic scholarship. Started suffering injury. And, you know, no matter what I did, no matter how hard I worked, no matter how hard I tried, nothing worked out for me in college. Girlfriends didn't work out. An athletic career didn't work out. Nothing worked out. And then the day came that I got right with the Lord, and things started happening. Went to Bible school. Was happy for the first time that I remember since my childhood. I just want to say, it's a futility to labor in some of the things that folks labor in without the Lord's blessing. The most important thing in your life is the Lord's blessing. You make a real mess trying to find an alternative. Here is Saul, and God won't talk to him. So he looks up the witch of, they call her a witch of Endor. Never calls her a witch, but she's at least a channeler, a necromancer. And so he looks her up as a replacement for talking to God and having God talk back to him. And that didn't work out so well because everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. David just wanted Bathsheba, even though she was another man's wife. And he just thought he could wrangle this thing and keep it swept under the carpet. But it was not to be so, because the Lord wouldn't allow it to be swept and left there hidden. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. And to circumvent that process is just self-destructive. It's you know, gluing feathers on your arms and trying to fly. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. Everything else is futile. Balak had to hire Balaam to bring about what he wanted. Balaam couldn't get the Lord to do that, so Balaam had to turn to trickery to get the check. Nebuchadnezzar resorted to magicians and sorcerers. Pharaoh resorted to sorcerers and magicians to tell him what to do, and none of them were right. It was all a futility because everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. There's not only the fact and the futility, but there is something I'll just call the attainment. And that's understood by just asking, well, how do I get the Lord's blessing? And the only thing that I can really come up with is, I used to work as a carpenter. A lot of you guys work construction, and you learn real quick that things have to be built on a foundation. When I went to Pensacola, they gave me a title, and it was a carpenter's helper. The truth of the matter is, all I did was dig ditches and drive stakes into the ground, because the ditch was for the forms, the foundation where you laid the footer for where you laid the block, and set the steel on steel buildings, which our company was building at the time. And so all I did was dig ditches and set forms and drive stakes into the ground with a sledgehammer. And that was to establish a foundation. It was to establish a footer on which to build everything else so the weight of the building rests on those that thick concrete. And, you know, when that tornado went through Joplin, Missouri, Brother Friesen is down there in that neck of the woods. Do you realize that that tornado set the hospital off of its foundation? They had to tear the hospital down, but it literally moved the hospital off of the foundation. Well, needless to say, you can't put people in a hospital when the foundations aren't supporting the walls. Not a real good thing to do, right? Have a nurse here tonight. Not a real good thing to do. Say, what's the point? Well, the point is, the attainment of it is, how do I get the blessing of God? You got to be on the foundation. Just got to be on the foundation. Abel was accepted because he was on the foundation. Cain was rejected because he was off the foundation. Now, you go down the list of the disasters and the list of successes in the Word of God, and you'll find this to be a common denominator. Abraham did well in most everything that he did, because in all the things that he did well, he was on the foundation. And if there's something you need to be on the foundation, on the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the true foundation, as you well know. But the way to get God's blessing is to do the right things the right way, to be on the foundation, not on the sand. Aaron's rod budded, and none of the rest of the Levites' rods budded. His rod, a dead stick, not only budded, but it bloomed blossoms and brought forth almonds. I mean, you're looking at a dead stick one day, the next day it's not only blooming, but there are ripe almonds ready to be picked and eaten on the thing. What is that? It was the blessing of God. It was Aaron was on the foundation. And most folks today don't even know what a foundation is. Talk about building their houses on sand. This is something you and I have, we've got to get this. This is critical. You need to know how to attain the blessing of God. And you get the blessing of God by being on the foundation. David was anointed because he was on the foundation. The prophets of Baal had their heads cut off because they were off the foundation. Ai, the battle of Ai, was a disaster because Israel at that time was off the foundation. Esau was hated because he's off the foundation. Jacob was loved because he was on the foundation. Moses fails to bring his brethren out of Israel at the first attempt because he was off the foundation. But he succeeded in bringing the entirety of Israel out and feeding them in a barren wilderness and where there was no water, and bringing them through safely because he was on the foundation. It all depends, even in different cycles of life, whether you're on the foundation or off. It doesn't help you to be on the foundation last year if you're off of it this year. But the attainment is by being on the foundation. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram were off the foundation. Nadab and Abihu build that fire, and they're off the foundation, so they're dead. The prodigal son was off the foundation. Then he went home and got back on the foundation, and he found the Father's blessing. It's consistent all the way through the Bible. And this is one of the great common themes that winds its way through all the stories of the Bible. That somebody that's on the foundation is blessed, and somebody that's off the foundation does not find that blessing. And I just tell you, folks, the blessing of God is what matters. Everything depends upon the blessing of God. I don't think my kids are doing okay because of me. I think my kids are doing okay because of the Lord's blessing. I think that I have healthy grandchildren because, not because of me, but because of the Lord's blessing. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. This sermon, the success of this sermon will depend on whether the Lord blesses it to your heart and you take it to heart or not. It really depends upon that. Esther and Mordecai were on the foundation, so things worked well for them. Ruth was on the foundation, or got on the foundation. But Lot was off the foundation. Those disciples are looking for what and how to bring this Messiahship about. He says, okay, we're going to go in for the Passover, go into town, and you're going to find a donkey tied. And when you find a donkey tied, I wonder how many donkeys are tied in town. When you find a donkey tied, just take the donkey. And if somebody says, hey, why are you taking my donkey? Say, the master hath need of it. Like I said, try that with somebody's Escalade. See how that works out for you. But sure enough, it happened. Why? Because God blessed it. He says, go into town and fall in behind somebody that's carrying a water pot on his head. And follow him wherever he goes and just go in and say, the master hath need of an upper room for the Passover. So how many people are walking around with a water pot on their head in town? And they go in and fall in behind a guy, and he goes in some place, and they say, hey, the master hath need of a place for the Passover. He says, yep, I got a place ready. Come on in. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing, right? Here is the servant of Abraham at the well, and he's come all this way. He's got 10 camels, and he said, I've come all this way. I don't know whether Isaac likes blondes or brunettes. I don't know how to find a wife for somebody. So, Lord, you got to send the right one along. Before it's out of his mouth, the girl shows up. Everything depends on the Lord's blessing, right? So the attainment of it, the blessing is not arbitrary. I'm not suggesting that this can be treated like a candy dispenser where you put in your 75 cents or $1.50 or whatever it is today, and you punch the buttons and you get what you want when you want it. I'm not suggesting it's that way, but there are common denominators, and the common denominator is that God's blessing revolves around you being on the foundation and being honorable and doing right and following God's word. And eventually it works out where you're blessed, where you wouldn't be blessed for doing something else. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Boy, how many things can you say about that? Unless the blessing of God falls on my family, I'm not sure what's going to happen to my kids. You know, there have been many times where, boy, if the Lord doesn't do something to bless our church, I don't know how this is going to work anymore. Here we are, 35 years later. You say, what's the point? You attain the Lord's blessing by being on the foundation. People spend vast amounts of time and vast amounts of money trying to secure to themselves what we would call a blessing. They're trying to reach out for security, prosperity, retirement, security. And there's no guarantee for any of those things, no matter what insurance you have, no matter how much money you have. Because you could have all the money in the world and, you know, fall down and break your stupid neck on a 2-inch step. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. I'd like to bring up to you last the reward. Talked about the fact, the futility, the attainment, the reward. The reward is that if you're right, and there's a day that comes that a lion or a bear or a giant needs to be slain, you might be the guy to do it. When Hezekiah was faced with the entirety of the Assyrian army, there was a single night after Hezekiah prayed that 185,000 of the Assyrians died. mysteriously in their sleep that night. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. In 2 Chronicles 14, Asa goes to battle against the Ethiopians. What the Ethiopians bring to the battlefield is 1 million men. And he defeats them. Other kings go to battle and they don't even have to blow the trumpet. They don't even have to raise the sword, because in the nighttime the enemy has heard sounds of a great army and they've fled. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. 400 prophets of Baal and 450 prophets of the groves. It's 850-1. And you say, Lord, dear God, let them know there's a God in Israel. And fire falls from heaven, consumes the sacrifice, and the Lord says, kill all of them. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. It really, really does. Abraham didn't lose his family in Sodom because he chose to camp out in outside of town, far away from those lights, on the plain of Mamre. And he's out there singing praise to God and fellowshipping with his wife and fellowshipping with the Lord. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. Paul, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Solomon, the writer of Ecclesiastes, tells a story of the fact that there was this little city that had few men in it. And there came this great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. But there was found in the little city a poor wise man. And it doesn't say how he did it, but the Bible says, Solomon said that he delivered the city just by his wisdom. There's no indication of a great battle. I don't know how he did it. I kind of want that replay one day. But just by his wisdom, this unnamed guy, a poor man in this city with small, few people in it, delivered the city by his wisdom. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. You don't want to labor in vain. You know, you're going to spend your lifetime raising your families and going to church and paying bills and putting up with aggravations. And if it's all in vain, I don't know if it's worth it. If the Lord doesn't bless it, I just don't know if it's worth it. Say, what's the point? Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. You get to see God work. You are fulfilled, because by the time you get through part of the course, you begin to see back down the pike the crops coming up where you've sown, you know. And to just realize that while it's, you know, you're not the great captain of your ship, and so you're not the genius that made it work. On the other hand, when you make a mistake, you're not the idiot that messed everything up. Not if you're depending on the Lord's blessing, because the Lord just could bless your idiocy and circumvent your stupidity and bless you anyway. Has that happened to anybody here? Say, what's the point? Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. So the last bit of advice comes from Psalm 105, verse 4. It says this: seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face evermore. That passage back in Proverbs 10 says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And I don't think there's anything else that makes anybody rich. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. Seek the Lord's blessing. Let's bow our heads and pray.